Thanks for joining us at Reveal, a Jesus-centered community. To learn more about us and what's going on, check us out on the web at www.revealvineyard.com. We hope in the minutes to come, you're able to find God, find others, and find yourself. Thanks again for listening.
Well, let's jump into our third week of the series that we've been on called 2020, Vision for the Future. We've been saying that everyone ends up somewhere, but few people actually end up somewhere on purpose. And so our hope is that we would end up somewhere on purpose at the end of 2020. Lewis Carroll, who is the author of Alice in Wonderland, said, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there." One of the passages that's kind of pushed our series forward has been Psalms 90, verse 20, where Moses said, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What he's saying is teach us to manage our time before we run out of time. Teach us to number our days. Why? Because something happens when we realize that our days are limited. We get wisdom in how we spend our time, how we invest ourselves in things that really matter. In other words, we're less likely to waste our time on a road that we were never intended to take. Everyone ends up somewhere. We want to end up somewhere on purpose. Psalm 32:8, God says this, that I will guide you along the best path, or we could say the best road for your life. Teach us to number our days so we may gain wisdom to take the road that you have purposed for us. Now, last week I dazzled you with an illustration of rocks. And if you weren't here, you missed out. But the general idea was we had the large jars, and we talked about which rocks we put in the jar, and we talked about priority determines capacity, and we said that whatever you prioritize most in your life will be the first rock that you put in your jar. Now, what that means is that the first rock in the jar, the reason why that's important, is the whatever goes in first becomes the organizing structure, the principle, or the person that influences all other areas of life. Whatever is most important to you becomes the structure that influences everything else. And so we would say if your kids are your priority, if they're the first rock in your jar of life or how you spend your time, then life will revolve around your children. If it's your spouse, then life kind of takes on a shape, it orients around your spouse or around a relationship. If your first rock in is wealth, then your life revolves around your career because it's about money. If it's health, then it kind of orients around, or if it's body image, then it orients around the gym and healthy eating and healthy living. If you're a follower of Christ, Scripture has a lot to say about the first rock in, how we spend our time and what we prioritize. Jesus said it this way, seek first. Now, whenever Scripture says seek, it's saying make this your priority, pursue this. And so Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. The potential of this passage rests in the word first. The potential is in first. Seek first his kingdom. We said last week, what is kingdom? The kingdom is not a location. The kingdom is not heaven. The kingdom is not a castle on the hill. The kingdom is wherever the rule and reign of God is, that's where the kingdom of God is. That wherever the authority of the king goes, the king's dome goes with it. And so when Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God, what he's saying is seek that the rule and the reign and the authority of God is firmly established in your life. Why is that important? Because whatever you seek first becomes the organizing structure, the principle, or the person that influences every other area of life. Seek first. You see, when first is lost, our experience with God is diminished. When first is lost, we acknowledge God, but we do not treat him like God, and therefore the kingdom that he offers is often of little benefit to us. Seek first is priority. God is inviting us to invite him in to be the anchoring influence of every area of life, how we live, how we function in relationships, how we spend our time, how we raise our children, how we manage our money, all of it. The potential of Matthew 6:33 is in that single word first. Seek, prioritize first. First represents a pattern of seeking. First represents a pattern of submission. First represents discipline. And so I want to talk this morning about the power of same. The power of same. Same is consistency. Same involves repetition. Same involves a consistent pattern of living. Same often involves what feels to be mundane, repetitive actions at times that have little benefit. But make no mistake, there is a power in same. There is a power in whatever you seek first. Now, same is often anchored in what we already have. The problem is that for most of us, we are drawn to new over same. We like new. It's fresh and it's exciting. I was happy with my current phone until Apple released a new phone, which made my new phone an old phone. See, we like new. New is revitalizing and invigorating, unpacking at the new home. It's a lot of work, but there's a measure of excitement. Packing at the old home is just terrible, right? Everyone's yelling at each other. The kids are being spanked. You're fighting with everyone in the house. It's horrible because we're drawn to new. Now, let me ask you a question. And before I ask you, I want to remind you, you're in a safe space. And you are among friends that love you, okay? Who, show of hands, who has Christmas decorations still up? Come on, I see you, I see you. Can we pray for you guys? Because there's something wrong, okay? Now listen. Setting up Christmas decorations, exciting. Still a lot of work, right? But it's new and it's fresh and it's invigorating. We love it. Taking down Christmas, horrible, right? Taking down Christmas is when you have this conversation in your head that goes something like this. You're taking stuff down and you're asking yourself, will anyone miss this if I throw this away? Now listen, my wife is homesick today with the flu, so I'm going to share something just between us. Every year that I put away Christmas, I throw something away because it's a little easier. I figure at the end of my life, there's like six things we're putting up, right? So putting up is new and exciting, but taking down, it's old, and we like new. Most of us like what's on the horizon, and we want whatever is fresh and novel and innovative. And every year, there's this buildup to celebrate the new year. We celebrate new possibilities and the new you and a new year moving forward. I mean, let's just face it. Americans especially, we like new. That means at this time of year, it's easy to think that what we need to make 2020 better than 2019 is something new. What we need is something new because new is going to motivate me. New is going to move me. New is going to move me closer to the me that I want to be. New will get me to my goal. New will help me achieve my New Year's resolution. New will solve the problem. New is the solution. Like I wasn't in shape last year because what I need is a new gym, right? And so I'm going to leave Planet Fitness because I'm going to EOS because new is going to solve my health problem. You're going to come back to Planet Fitness because at Planet Fitness, we eat Tootsie Rolls. That's what we do there. And the first of every month, it's free pizza, right? That's what we are. It's the no judgment zone at Planet Fitness, all right? And no other line of work, I mean, talk about job security, they're keeping me fat so I keep paying my dues. That's what Planet Fitness is doing by bringing in pizza. It would be like your doctor every now and then just bringing in people with the flu, right? Because they want to keep you coming back. But that's what we think. What I need is something new because new is better. I wasn't healthy last year because what I need is a new juicer. I need a masticating juicer that extracts the vital nutrients into a cold blend that will give me a boost of energy for an hour. And you know what you're going to do with that hour of energy? Clean your juicer. That's what you're going to do with that hour of energy. Right? And so I was spiritually flat last year, and so what I need is a new church. Right? But you're forgetting that your current church was at one time your new church until you allowed it to become the old church. My relationship is old and stale, and so what I need is a new romantic relationship in my life. But you're forgetting that the current relationship was at one time your new relationship, and you're about to make it an old relationship because we stop investing in whatever becomes common and ordinary. You see, new is not always it. There's power in same, and we're going to unpack that. I need a new cat because my old, you will never need a new cat. Let's just say that one, okay? We tend to think that new will solve our problems, that new is a recipe for a breakthrough. But I want to suggest that maybe what you need to make 2020 better than 2019 is not new, but same. Because you may already have what you need for your breakthrough. God has given us everything for life and godliness. And what we may not need is new. What we may need to do is same. But the reason that sometimes we don't have the breakthrough we need is because we don't recognize what we have, because we stop looking at things that become common and ordinary, because we live in a culture that constantly pushes us to new. And so we're going to unpack same. See, over a lot of years and a lot of mistakes, I've learned something, that God is less impressed with new and he's more into consistency. He's more into same. Because same is what has long-term benefits. There is a compounding value that comes with consistency. There is a cumulative effect that comes with same. Now, Israel was under new leadership, and they just took possession of the Promised Land, and their first military challenge came in the form of Jericho, the fortress of Jericho. And so God gives Joshua a plan, but it's not a flashy plan. It's a plan of same. It's a plan of consistency. Joshua 5, he says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand." Now, we're later going to find out this was an angelic being that came to deliver a message to Joshua from God. "And Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?'" Are you for us or for our enemies? Now, I'm going to deviate a little bit off of the message, and if that's not okay with you, I'm doing it anyways. Because our country is in a place of great division, and we're split. And I'm afraid with it being an election year, it's only going to get worse, right? We've drawn people who are for us politically, and then we've drawn a line against those who are against us. And so we've gathered people like us, and now we throw stones at people who are against us. And they've gathered people, and they're throwing stones at us. And there's something we can learn from this passage. See, it's interesting to me that if it was me, when the question came, "Are you for us or against us?" to me, the answer would be pretty obvious. Because in chapter 1, God told Joshua that wherever you step, I'm going to give you the land. And then in chapter 3, God said, "I'm about to elevate your influence, your leadership in Israel." Why? Because I want people to know that just as I was with Moses, I was with you. Now listen, you would think that when Joshua asked the angel, after God said, "Wherever you step is yours, and I'm going to elevate your influence and your leadership potential," you would think that when Joshua asked the angel, "Are you for us or against us?" we think he would just say, "Well, I'm for you." But look what happened. Look at the rest of the passage. "Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' And look what he says, 'Neither.'" Whoo, there's a lot of strength right in there. Can I remind you, in this politically charged season of our country, that God is for God? Are you with me? God is for himself. Now, I know we like our little pet projects and we like to say, well, God is in it sometimes, yeah. But understand that God is for God. And so that means I don't care which way you lean politically, but understand that God is for God. That means before we label ourselves with a D or an R, we are first to see Christ followers, because we are for him and he is for himself. And so I think maybe the best answer that we could, because it will bring some peace to our country, when someone asks you in whatever way they're going to ask you it, because we ask in all different ways, are you for us or against us? Maybe what we need to start saying is, "Neither. I'm for God." That's a good answer. That we would live our lives to make sure that we are on the side of God. Okay, that was free, and now back to our normally scheduled broadcast. All right, back to the power of same. Joshua 6. Now, here's what it says. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the sons of Israel. So obviously they see this invading force coming and they go into lockdown. No one went in, or no one went out, and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hands." Now understand, God has given them Jericho, but they're going to have to work for it. There's a balance between grace and grit, all right? And so with its king and its valiant warriors, you shall march. Here's the plan. Same. You shall march around the city. All the men of war circle in the city once, and you shall do so for 6 days. And 7 priests carrying 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. Shout. Understand that there is power that comes with what we say. I think it's Proverbs 18 that says that the tongue has the power of life or death. Meaning that you and I, we can speak life over us, or we can condemn ourselves with the very things that we speak over us. That also means that when someone else says something over you, speaks something over you, we need to be very careful as to what we allow to stick, because there's power in the tongue. So you didn't know it, but that old thing you said when you were a kid, I'm rubber and you're glue, it's biblical, right? Doesn't matter what you say to me, it's bouncing off of me and it can stick to you for all I care, because there's power in the tongue. Now, shout. The walls literally were not going to shout because a bunch of people started screaming. Shout was a demonstration saying that God is bigger than our obstacles. And so God said, here's the plan. It's not flashy. It's not all that sexy. It's walking around a city every day for 6 days. And on the 7th day, you're going to walk around the city a little more. To which we would say, how is that going to accomplish anything? But there's power in saying. Same, consistent, and sometimes in the mundane. Here's what I want you to know today. There is cumulative, snowballing value of small investments over large blocks of time. The power of same. There is cumulative value of small investments being done over large blocks of time. Meaning certain things that if you will invest in them consistently, the power of same, will have cumulative payout at some point in the future. Like exercise, 30 minutes of exercise a day, you know we're going to be healthier, right? If you're in school, 15, 20 minutes of studying a day, it's better for you. You'll be prepared when the test comes. If you're practicing an instrument, 20 minutes a day of practice, small investments over large blocks of time have a cumulative effect. You become better at your instrument. With the family, time with kids, dinners together, disciplining children, small investments over large blocks of time have cumulative value, meaning it doesn't happen in just one big shot. Right? You can't have one good parenting moment and think that's what's going to carry you on. Right? It's small investments, relationships. Healthy relationships require small, consistent investment. Time, same. Time together, date nights, conversations, spending time with each other. Healthy living, small investments. Saving money, small investments over large blocks of time. Spiritual development, cumulative value over small investments. Small investments over large blocks of time. It is the power of same. You see, we cheer on the athlete that hits the buzzer beater. We cheer on the athlete that does the walk-off home run. But what we're seeing is the cumulative value of little investments over large blocks of time. No one was there cheering them on when they were, you know, 1,000 shots plus behind the three-point arc. No one was there. There was no fanfare. There was no cheering when they were in the batting cages day after day after day after day. But what a good athlete knows is that there is cumulative value in small investments over large blocks of time. But here's the thing. You already know that. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. And yet we still struggle with it. And one of the reasons that we struggle is because we like new more than we like same. So let me just give you 2 reasons why I think we struggle. First, there's no immediate benefit to any single investment of time. I think we struggle with this because there's no movement with any one single investment in time. In other words, new gives us an adrenaline spike and we feel it. Same can feel somewhat mundane and flatline. See, same is challenging because we don't see instant movement with same. You practice the guitar one time, you're not a better guitar player, right? That's why we get frustrated, because I practiced twice and I'm still not on the worship team, whatever that looks like. right? There's no immediate payout. There's no immediate benefit to any single investment. If you're a professional couch potato and your cheeks are permanently imprinted on the cushions of your couch, and you decided in 2020 that you're going to have a change of life, and you went to the gym for 2 hours, that next day, no one at work was like, what did you do to yourself? You're looking good, right? There's no benefit to any single investment of time. The scale doesn't reflect when you pass on one single dessert. And so it's easy for us to think, what's the point? I'm not seeing any benefit. I'm not seeing any movement. So what's the point? Listen, let me talk to men. Men, one good conversation with our spouse does not change the marriage, but we act like it changes the marriage. See, we like to think in this one area that one single investment of time should change it. Like, what do you mean we never talk to each other? We just had a conversation 6 weeks ago. And so we kind of fall into this. But listen. The power isn't in new. The power is in same. And so it's little investments in relationships that lead to a healthy relationship. But we're always, let me continue talking to relationships, married couples. We're naturally drawn to new. And so here's what I've seen. Let me give you a little years of experience. Is that when the relationship is spiraling, right, because we haven't been investing long-term, little investments over large blocks of time, and the relationship is spiraling, what we naturally think we need is something new. And new often involves money that we don't have. And so what we need to save the relationship is this vacation. And so we want to put it on a credit card because it's new and we feel good. And while you're on vacation, you're getting along really well. But a good relationship doesn't occur over 7 days. Or we think, well, what we need is some new gifts that we really can't afford. And so we're gonna buy. Look at what I bought you, the jewelry I bought you. What we need is a fresh start in a fresh city on a fresh home. Listen, take my advice. The power is not insane or in new. The power is insane. New is exciting. Same is powerful. New is invigorating for a short time, but same is life-changing. There is no immediate benefit to any single investment, but there is cumulative effect to small, consistent, ongoing investments over large blocks of time. But listen, we're walking uphill in the snow both ways because we're naturally drawn to new and not same, right? This is our struggle that is common to all of us. Same isn't flashy. No one's posting on social media, another dinner with the kids. Nothing flashy going on there. Another ordinary conversation with my wife or with my husband. No one's posting on social media, another $15 saved. But I guarantee it, small investments over large blocks of time is life-changing. New is exciting. Same is powerful. Here's the other reason why I think we struggle. Is there's no immediate consequence if you skip an installment. In other words, nothing really happens if you don't do it. If you're a gym rat and you miss a day, no big deal, right? If you double down on dessert, step on the scale the next day, no big deal. And we start to think, well, maybe it's not a big deal. I had dessert yesterday and the scale didn't change, and I had dessert today and the scale didn't change. Right? And so there's no immediate consequence, and so we devalue same. But here's what I want us to understand, is there is cumulative value of small investments over large blocks of time, and there is a cumulative effect of neglect over large blocks of time. And all of us have this story, myself included. There's cumulative effects of neglect. I wish it wasn't so. But it definitely is so. There's a cumulative effect that happens under neglect. That means if you neglect your health for 20, 30 years, there's a cumulative effect of that neglect. If you neglect that relationship a couple days because you're self-absorbed, you'll be okay. But if you neglect that relationship repeatedly, there will be a cumulative effect. And here's what I want you to know. Listen to this. Listen. There is a tipping point. We're barring a divine intervention from God, the neglect will be irreparable. And some of us have seen it in relationships where by the time it got there, it didn't matter how hard we worked, how much we repented, how hard we tried, the relationship just could not be restored. There's a cumulative effect in the positive, but it goes both ways, including the negative. And so, you know, we're walking uphill here because neglect comes easy to me. Being self-absorbed is simple, right? Neglecting my wife, that's not hard to do. I can be self-absorbed with the best of them. Nobody has to practice neglect. You don't have anything on your mirror that says, neglect the day, you can do it, right? Because it's easy. It comes simple to us. And so we're walking uphill both ways in the snow. But knowing is part of the battle. Knowing is reminding yourself that there is a cumulative effect that works both ways. It's the power of saying. And here's what I know. The sacrifice of making small, ongoing, positive investments, and there is a sacrifice, in the end is far easier than living through the collapse that comes after seasons of neglect. And many of us already know this. Look, it will be a sacrifice. Small, ongoing deposits over large blocks of time will cost you something. But what it costs you in the end is far less than living through a collapse of family, of health, of relationships, of a job, whatever, because of season after season of neglect. The power of same. Now, before we go on, there's some same that you don't want to continue. Not all same is created equal. In other words, there's stupid same, right? Stupid same is if your current pattern of living has dropped you somewhere you don't want to continue with that pattern of living is just stupid. I'm not saying you're stupid, so don't send me any emails. And if you must, send it to marty@radiantchurch.com. I'll get it instantly, right? But there's stupid same. If you're going to bring into 2020 the same thing you did in 2019 and expect to get different results just because it's a new decade, you're not being smart. That's stupid same. But then there's also stubborn same. This is what all of our spouses have, right? Stubborn same is you can show me a better way to do it. You can tell me what I'm doing wrong, but I'm not changing. And we all have a little bit of stubborn same in us. But then there is stupid same, there's stubborn same, and then there's scared same. And scared same holds us in patterns of living because of the what if. It holds us in jobs that we don't like because we're thinking, what if I don't get another job? What if no one will hire me? What if I can't succeed somewhere else? It holds us in relationships that are abusive because of what if. What if I don't find someone else? What if I can't make it on my own? And so scared same is dangerous. So there's stupid same. There's stubborn same, there's scared same, and then there's good same. And good same is anything that God has spoken over you or anything that God has told you to do. In Israel's case, good same was to march for 6 days, and on the seventh day, same, but you're going to do it 7 times, which makes no sense at all to us because marching around a city should have no effect on its walls. And yet if God spoke it over you, that's a good same. You see, until God clearly gives you new, you need to stay with same. And when God does give you new, you better be really careful before you sign God's name to it. Because listen, we already know we are naturally drawn to new. And I've just seen a lot of people who got hurt, who upended their life because they jumped for new, but God was in same. And so just be cautious. Does God speak new? Absolutely. God's bringing the Russells into a new season of life. I think God is in that. But you know why God is in that? Because they've been insane. And they followed the last thing that God told them to do. You know what God wants you to do for 2020? The last thing that he told you to do in 2019 or 2018. Someone once told me that old orders are standing orders. Do you know what? You know what has allowed me to be in ministry for 30 years? Because of that little phrase, old orders are standing orders. And I know within myself that I'm always drawn to new and flashy and the grass is greener because all of us are. But we don't jump until we know for sure what God is speaking. There's power in same, and old orders are standing orders until God releases you from those old orders. man, we can avoid a lot of mess with just that little bit. So Israel, same, was march. Now imagine you're marching. Day one, okay, day two, day three, day four, and you're talking to the person next to you. Is anything happening? Is there a strong wind that's building? Did you feel the ground shake at all? You know, I've been looking as we walk around. There's not even a crack in these walls. Is anything happening? Did you sense anything? Day five, day six, nothing. And then imagine being the leader on day seven saying, all right, everyone, get up. We're walking again. This time we're doing it seven times. And everyone's like, woo, more of the same. Right? Seven times around, like seven full times, or can we cut like we did in PE class, just kind of cut across the football field? Like, can we e-scooter it, Segway? Does that count? Like, do I have to literally make it all seven? Whatever. I had to be, you know, pretty miserable as a leader trying to rally the troops at that point. Listen. Same, it's not flashy, but there's power in same. Listen, I get it. Time with the family, dinner with the kids and the family, and nothing changes. Carving out time to be with each other, day two, nothing changes. Carving out time to be with each other, day three, and the kids are horrible, and they're all, you know, put in time out. They're all grounded. Day four, day five, you're wondering, is it worth it? It absolutely is worth it. There's a cumulative value in small investments over large blocks of time, and the struggle on the front end is far easier than what it will be on the back end to live through a collapse because of neglect. Some of you are praying, and you're praying, and you're seeking, and nothing is happening. And you're like, hey, I started my read through the Bible on January 1st, and now it's the 19th, or nothing. Listen, the power of same. Keep going. Don't be deceived into thinking because there's not an immediate move because of a couple times of investment, that same is not working. Some of you are thinking, well, I've been to church 3 weeks in a row in 2020 and nothing's changed. Don't give up. Some of you, I know it's a miracle you made 3 weeks in a row. Don't give up. Now's not the time. You're like, well, the ground isn't shaking. Oh, it's shaking. You just may not feel it yet. Listen, now's the time that we decide to stick with same. And we keep showing up, and we keep sowing, and we keep reading scripture, and we keep serving, and if the rocks aren't falling, we keep marching, and we keep worshiping, and we stay with same. And for many of us, we don't need new. What we need is to commit to same. The simple, repetitive, seek first cumulative value of small investments over large blocks of time. Faithfulness produces fruitfulness. See, tomorrow's potential is being set up by the patterns that you invest in today. Someone once said that you can't outrun a bad diet. You can't out-exercise a bad diet. Now, let me drop something on you. This is going to be heavy. You can't out-pray bad patterns of living. See, we like to, you know, we pray and we're like, God, come on, God, come on, God, come on, and God, change this, God, change this. And the only thing that's going to change is when you submit and God changes a pattern of living. You will not outpray bad patterns of life. You cannot pray, God, change my marriage if you're still self-absorbed in a bad pattern of living. The answer will be, submit to me so I can change you, and then we're going to change the pattern, which is going to change the outcome. Listen, I'm telling you, I've seen it so many times that we fervently pray to God, and then we wonder where God is. And the problem sometimes is that there's just a pattern of life that God's like, what do you want me to do? You can't outpray bad patterns of living. But if you will invest in same, consistency, transformation occurs, and then you will start to see things move. It's in the daily patterns of same that brings results. Listen, breakthrough is not a moment. It is moments. Breakthrough does not happen at one single instant. It's little moments, same, consistency, same, small investments over large blocks of time. And then the moment comes and we all rally and worship God. Look what God did. And absolutely God did it. But you know how he did it? Through small moments. Small investments of same, small investments of submitting ourselves, small investments into those things that matter and that he is behind. So look at the end result, Joshua 6. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and they marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the end of the, at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed, so everyone charged in and took the city. It is the power of same. Listen, I'll leave you with this. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's the best thing I can tell you for 2020. The power of same. Cumulative effects of investing over large blocks of time. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean? Where do you need to start investing small amounts of time for large blocks of time that you may start to see the movement in a future time? The principle works. It's just we like new better than same. So what does that mean for you? For some, while I was talking to you, the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and often the Holy Spirit will speak through a nudge or something that'll pop in your mind, or sometimes it's an image. I mean, we try to make this so mysterious, but we can be naturally supernatural. Like the Holy Spirit does still speak today. We've just brought so much mystery in it because of, you know, pastors with their flashy suits and things like that, and they act like they're the only one that hears. No, the Holy Spirit speaks to everyone. We can be naturally supernatural and hear from the Lord. And so how did the Holy Spirit speak to you? Look, we work really hard to try to give you something applicable every Sunday that you come. But the end result is a question that rests on you. Will you be a doer of the word? James 1:22. Be doers and not just hearers who deceive themselves. See, it's easy to hear this and think, yeah, and you deceive yourself because you were like, yeah, but when you walk out the door, nothing changes. And James says, you deceived yourself. So I want you to be a doer. Because I want 2020 to be a year of transformation. I want 2020 to be a year where you end up somewhere on purpose, where I end up somewhere on purpose. And purpose takes same. Stand with me, will you? All right. Let's get on to some NFL football. Pray with me then, Lord. Today, there's kind of a heavy message that just rests on us. Someone told me first service in a good way. And I think there's a lot for us to digest. And so, Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would speak above and beyond my words and that you would apply it to each one of us in our time, in our space, in our circumstances, in our lives. What does it mean for us? Where do we need to make small investments over large blocks of time to see that cumulative value? Lord, I pray for all of us, regardless of what life looks like, that we would seek first, prioritize small investments into a spiritual development that will pay off in the long run. Lord, I pray for us to rest on old orders until we clearly know what the new orders are. Let us not be so quick to jump to new. Because often, God, you're working in same. You've given us everything we already need for life and godliness if we would make the investments, if we would submit, if we would embrace consistency, if we would embrace same. So that's my prayer for every one of us. How has the Holy Spirit spoken to you today? How do you need to be a doer of the word? Whatever you spoke, whatever that looks like, my prayer is that you would give us the grace to do it and the grit to stay at it. Grace and grit. I bless you, Reveal Church. I bless you that 2020 is a year of transformation. And it will come through the power of same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Hey, if I've never met you, I'd love to meet you. If you are a guest, don't forget you can meet Skylar and Justine up here if you'd like to get some more information about what they're doing. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you back next Sunday.